Oh my goodness. Happy September, plant friends. I cannot believe we are already approaching the autumnal equinox at the end of this month. What happened to summer? Did August even happen? I just feel like the season went by in an instant. And so many of us feel like the minute that temps drop again as we move into fall, that the gardening season has to be over. I'm totally guilty of this. I thought that, you know, way back when, I thought that fall was just the bearer of dead tomato plants and bolted summer lettuces. But fall is actually an amazing season to extend your growing season and continue to grow joy in your edible gardens, even after the traditional quote unquote summer gardening season has concluded. If there is any expert to talk to us on this topic, it is absolutely my friend Joe Lample, who is the go-to organic gardening expert. And today we are diving into everything you need to know about your fall gardening season. So welcome back to
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello, hello, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. Welcome to our new listeners of the podcast. Welcome back to our old plant friends, longtime listeners of the show. Man, I truly can't believe it's fall, but I have to say I wanted to take a minute to just reflect on this beautiful summer gardening season we've had. This was the first year I really grew cut flowers on my own. It was so delightful. I learned a lot about growing tomatoes. I had some successes growing wildflowers from seed. It's been a really beautiful year of growing for me, and I hope it has been for you too. And if it hasn't been, if there were failures in the garden, hey, that's okay too. It's all an opportunity to reflect and move forward and be wiser next time, right? So if you are an OG listener of Bloom and Grow, you are going to remember Joe as a repeat guest on the podcast. He was early in the podcast feed, as early as episode 4, on an episode, I believe, on live Christmas trees. He's been a real mentor and friend of mine. He has built the most incredible business located at joegardner.com, from his TV shows to his blog to his unbelievable series of courses that I've talked about in previous episodes before. And he's got even more exciting launches in the works. And one of those launches is his book, which releases today. So we have him on the podcast to celebrate his book launch. His new book is called The Vegetable Gardening Book, Your Complete Guide to Growing an Edible Organic Garden from Seed to Harvest. Plant friends, I'm holding it in my hand right now. It's so great. Joe and I decided to dive into the specifics of fall gardening for the season, but this book really covers all seasons of organic vegetable gardening. And I'm so proud of him and so honored to be chatting with him today. Before we dive into this awesome conversation, I just wanted to welcome our newest members of the Bloom and Grow Garden Party and Garden Society, Kathleen and Lucy. If you are looking for community and or if you are looking to support the podcast and the brand, joining my off Facebook private platform called the Bloom and Grow Garden Party is an amazing way to do that. It's an Android and iOS app. There's also an option to just log in on your web browser. And it's an online community for our international community of plant friends. I like to call it the kindest and plantiest corner of the internet. It's filled with amazing listeners and plant people. There are all sorts of different discussion topics ranging from houseplants to gardening to DIY. There's a plant swap section. It's so fun, super easy to navigate. And there's a premium product called the Garden Society that allows for amazing education with our horticulturist in residence, Leslie Halleck. So if you have any interest, please check the link in the show notes to join us and welcome to our newest members, Kathleen and Lucy. Okay, here we go, plant friends. We're in the fall, whether we like it or not, whether we've processed that we're in the fall or not, we're here. And Joe gives us so many gardening tips in addition to suggestions of crops we might want to try this year. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation. Here's Joe. Welcome back, Joe.
Thank you, Maria. It's always a pleasure. I always look forward to our conversations.
Always. I mean, I feel like our podcast recordings are always an excuse for us to catch up, you know, before we click record as well.
It's fine with me. Works for me.
So I'm so excited to have you back to talk about this epic book, Joe. I don't want to call it a textbook because it's written very accessibly. So I don't want to call it a textbook because it's not an intimidating, like, textbook. Oh my God, you know, going right over my head. But the content that you have put in this book is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm really glad that you don't think it reads and feels like a textbook, because if it did, I didn't do my job. What I wanted to do was make this book entirely accessible for any gardener at any level. And so it's just my voice. And my vision when I wrote this book was to have it feel as though you're hanging out with me in my garden and we're talking.
Yeah.
And I'm just taking you through the steps of best practices for being an organic gardener and opening your eyes to the changes that are going on and why you're looking this way and thinking this way and all of that. So that was the hope and the intent. And maybe you feel like I almost got there.
Oh my gosh. I have so many thoughts and feelings that I want to share with you about the book at the end of the episode, because I feel like we can't just like immediately start talking about it. I have other things about your updates I want to ask. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's always been why I've been so drawn to you as an educator in general, is that you're so accessible, like the way you talk to us, the way you educate. And I personally, as you know, the former plant killer that I used to be, houseplants were my first foray into caring for something. But every step of my gardening journey has been met with complete ineptitude. Like I didn't know how to do anything. And it's, you know, the famous thing that I love to say is that, you know, on episode 4 of Bloom and Grow Radio, when you were my guest, I think I asked you what mulch was. Like, I didn't know what anything was, you know? And I feel like you always, you know, something I try to do too, like you always just meet us on our eye level and you make it really accessible and you make gardening not intimidating. And I think especially with vegetable edible gardening, which is really your expertise, like it can be really intimidating for people because there's so many steps. Like there's so many steps in going from starting a tomato seed to harvesting it and not having blossom end rot, or, you know, the flowers fall off, or like all sorts of stuff that I'm experiencing in my grow bag garden right now, you know, and you make it accessible. And I feel like this book is a really great accompaniment to those courses of yours that I've taken. But before that, let's just rewind, because I've got lots of questions about the book. The last time you were on the podcast was ironically another fall gardening episode, I think 2 years ago. So in those 2 years, Joe Gardner has really evolved since then. Oh no, I guess you came on for seed starting last January, but you know, give us your update. What have you been up to? It's been an intense season of growth for you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I first of all, I want to credit my team, my amazing team, Amy Prentice and Toby, my farm manager, and Carl. And I have several people that I haven't mentioned that are all just part of the bigger picture that really helps me and facilitates what I need to be able to do and gives me the freedom in the room to think and create and get out there to provide that content that I'm trying to deliver to people. And so mainly what we're doing this year is a really big focus on a dream that I've had for a long time. In fact, as long as my first entree into television, when I was hosting my first television series on DIY Network on a series called Fresh from the Garden, teaching people how to grow food. And, you know, that was 52 episodes, and each episode focused on one particular crop, on how to grow it from seed to harvest. And it was such a good, smart series. And yet it was way ahead of its time because, you know, home vegetable gardening today is so much more popular than it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And
Corona.
yeah, that, well, true. But I always knew that as good as that series was, it could have been better. And I could have had more say in how it came down because it was written by freelance writers and they were gardeners. But, you know, I was really hired to be the host and read the script or memorize the script. And it was good, but it wasn't Joe. You know, Joe wants to just share from his head and do it in a way that has my voice in it. So anyway, many years later, here we are. And I've finally committed to the time to recreate that series essentially, but in a 2.0 version that's from my very own garden, all organically, basically taking this book that we're talking about today and amping that up a big time so that we're giving the best practices of how to be an organic gardener, everything you need to know about organic gardening in general, and then layering in along the way all the top warm and cool season crops and how to grow them from seed to harvest from my garden. And we're documenting it through the entire growing season for the whole year. So if I'm planting tomatoes, you're out there when I'm putting the seeds in the ground or the seedlings in the bed, and you're there when I'm checking on the plants and I'm dealing with pests and diseases and I'm harvesting. And so all of those things too. So it's a long time in the making, but it's happening, and it's taking a year and a half at least to put it all together. And even then it won't be all through, but we're going to launch that. We're calling it a program, not just a course. It's coaching and training and so much more. And we're going to release that baby sometime in early spring next year. So probably sometime in March.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that I've gotten a sneak peek into it. And I have a waitlist link. So if anybody is intrigued by the kind of vague hints Joe is hinting at, there'll be a waitlist link in the show notes that if you're curious. But yeah, it feels like, you know, you're such a leader in our space for gardening. And also, I feel like we dove right in because I feel like if you're an OG listener, people know Joe. But for those that don't, Joe is like probably one of the most prominent gardening personalities from TV and his amazing brand, joegardner.com. Is there anything else if someone's a newbie here, maybe a houseplant parent looking to get into gardening that you would want to say as an introduction?
Well, I would say if you're wanting to get into it, just start. You know, don't wait for anything to come to, don't wait for the stars to align. Don't wait until you think you know enough to get started or have a bigger space. You just need to dive in, and the resources are there, certainly on my site at joegardner.com. I mean, my whole mission in life, I think, is to grow new gardeners and bring them along. Mm-hmm. And so we've created lots of content along those lines.
Yeah, I'm a testament to that. You've been a huge part of my outdoor gardening journey, and I've got 25 grow bags this summer, Joe.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, 25 grow bags. I've got tomatoes, lettuces, herbs. I'm turning into a real cut flower mama. I love cut flowers so much now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my tomatoes are primarily my game to connect with my Italian heritage. But, you know, you've been a huge part of that journey. So one thing I just wanted to say, too, I feel like last year, you know, you launched your seed starting course, which I was a part of. You launched your tomato course. You launched the garden. You know, you've had your Vegetable Gardening Academy that I've been a part of for a few years. And it's exciting to see you now publishing these like larger scale things like this book. The vegetable gardening book is about how to go from beginning to end and kind of tackle everything. You're kind of approaching gardeners in a more holistic, not meta, but like, yeah, holistic and a much more holistic thing. And I think that's needed. And you've always been a leader in our space. And it's cool to see you now taking these larger scale programs to market when everyone else is still focused on those smaller things. It's been really fun to watch you grow and grow your business.
Well, it's been a wild ride, and it just keeps getting busier. And I'm like, wow, I'm still the CEO, and I'm supposed to have, you know, maybe less hands in the mix, but I can't help myself. But fortunately, there is more that I have offloaded than I hang on to, thanks again to my team.
Yeah.
And it just works really well. But I love the fact that we're not running out anytime soon of things to do or talk about or content to create. And we've got a long list of things ahead that we haven't even been able to start to think about getting to yet. So we're not going anywhere.
Well, I think that's the fun thing too about gardening and caring for houseplants as well as a hobby. You are never going to become the certified expert and know everything. Like, it's just never going to happen. You could have a million degrees in horticulture and you will still never know all the plants out there. There's always something new to try. You know, my gardening journey went from just herbs to one tomato to, you know, now 25 grow bags. And now as we look to buy our first home, the only thing I'm looking at with these homes on Zillow is what does the yard look like? And can I put a Joe Gardner raised bed garden in my front lawn? You know?
Nice.
And with houseplants too, it's like you start with a few from Home Depot and then you graduate to realizing different genuses that you like. And, you know, there's always something new to learn about. And so what I love about this episode today, this conversation you and I are going to have, is I feel like part of a gardener's journey is realizing that fall is a gardening season.
Oh, it's the best gardening season.
And so often overlooked.
Oh, it's most often overlooked, I think. I was just having this conversation yesterday, but I have it all the time, especially as we come into this season, is that, you know, we think of traditional gardening season as starting in spring and ending is when you're burned out in the summer sometime, you know, whenever that is, wherever you live. But certainly down here in the Southeast, people are done with outdoor vegetable gardening, especially probably in July. And I understand that because things get really ragged and tired looking by then. But the thing about it is, there's a lot of stuff that you can't even grow in the warm climate that thrives when it cools down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, that's not a bad thing for us either, because now we're in a cooler environment without the heat and the humidity or the pest or the diseases or the mosquitoes or all of that other stuff that we just loathe middle of summer, mm-hmm. you know, getting out in that heat. And so, with the exception of tomatoes, my favorite edibles are all growing in the fall, in this early spring. So, and as we speak, I've got about 30 seed trays, each with 50 cells in it. So 1,500 seedlings growing right now, well on their way, that will get planted out into the garden in about 3 more weeks. And we'll be off to the races again.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
So cool. Okay. So changing of the seasons, changing of summer into fall, there's a beautiful new amount of crops that we can grow. Mm-hmm. But as a gardener who might be going through their first couple of seasons of gardening, what are things that when you do first start to feel those first, you know, cool snaps, God, we just had such a heat wave and we're experiencing cool weather again, and it's been such a dream. What are the things that should be going through gardeners' heads, you know, in this time?
So grow what you like to eat the most, assuming we're talking about vegetables, and start easy, you know, start with lettuce and kale and spinach. Well, spinach isn't the easiest thing to get started from seed unless there's some tricks there. So we'll stick with lettuce and kale and, you know, beets and radishes. And there's just not very demanding plants in the fall. And so, and you can plant them directly into the soil outside. You don't have to start them inside. So you don't need any fancy equipment. But like lettuce is probably about the easiest thing that you can sow, because you can literally sprinkle it on top of the soil surface. It likes to have light to germinate, so you don't even need to cover it up. Yeah. And probably in about 2 days, it starts to germinate, and you can continue to do that for weeks after that and have a succession of fresh cut and come again lettuce that you can put into your salads or do whatever you want with. And there's a lot of those fall or cool season crops that you can do that with. So don't overthink it, I think is what I would say. And even, and with leafy crops, you know, not everybody has a full sun environment to grow their plants, but with leafy crops, you're not producing a big fat tomato or a big pepper or an eggplant that it fruits, you know, it's just the leaf that you're taking from it. So you can get by with, you know, partial shade or not direct sun. And that just opens up your possibilities so much more.
Yeah, I feel like that's why a lot of apartment farmers find success with growing, you know, those microgreens and lettuces on their windowsills, because they are a little bit more low light tolerant. Let's talk about lettuce for a minute, because I do feel like everybody says lettuce is easy, but I feel like, so say I have a packet of lettuce seeds and I have my little grow bag. Yeah. I sprinkle the lettuce seeds all over, because I've actually only grown lettuce from plugs like that I buy at the store. But yeah. I don't love that I don't know if they're organically started. And I feel like lettuce is one of those, you want a truly organic lettuce leaf to eat. So you sprinkle the seeds over some soil. Are you covering the lettuce with more soil, the seeds with more soil, or are you just exposing them to the sun to help trigger that germination?
The latter, typically. But it's kind of counterintuitive for people to think that they don't need to cover it up a little bit. You know, we think when we plant something, we cover it up. But with lettuce, it's called positively photoblastic, mm-hmm. which is a term that applies to the fact that it's a plant that actually positive means it needs light to germinate. And if it's negatively photoblastic, it won't germinate in the presence of light. So lettuce is positively photoblastic. And so leaving it exposed actually helps lettuce sprout even faster.
Why do I feel like that's something that like Austin Powers would say? Positively photoblastic. My snapdragons too. Snapdragons, you have to leave out. So once you cover it and they all germinate, then when do you go in and thin the lettuce germination?
That's up to you. You know, you could do it. The thing about leaf lettuce especially is you can have it pretty densely planted, and they're going to come up as they come up and find their way and make room. And, you know, it might be a little bit crowded, but you're going to come in there ideally and snip away either the outer edges of those plants or give them a haircut, and that's your salad for the day. And then it's going to grow up new leaves from the rosette. But, you know, I like to give a little bit of space between my plants. So once I know which of the ones close to each other that I want to keep, the other ones, if I'm going to pull them out, they go. But even with the decades of experience that I have, thinning, which is pulling them out, perfectly good-looking, healthy plants, and putting them in the compost pile, or hopefully you just take them in and eat them, and, you know, even the little microgreens. I mean, you can eat those too. Why not? But it's still mentally a hard thing to do.
It hurts so bad.
Yeah.
This year, I was so itchy at the end of this winter. I live in a microclimate up here, so I couldn't put anything in the ground before June 1st. And so I started seeds indoors because I was so, like, I just needed to watch something sprout. But I started so much. I started way too many zinnia. I had so much sweet alyssum. I had way too many seeds because I wouldn't thin them, because it was really more of an emotional experience than like actually needing them to transplant. But it was hysterical. I was giving them away to everyone. I was like, who needs plants? Please, like, please take some of these plants. I went totally crazy.
That's not a bad thing, giving away plants.
Okay. So here's another thing that I think comes across as a little confusing with fall garden plants, because in the spring, we know to wait for our frost dates. Mm-hmm. But in the fall, it's not as easy to kind of understand that because we don't have that same kind of trigger. So when should you start planting your fall crops?
You know, these cool season plants that like to mature in cooler weather can handle being planted in warmer weather. Like when I sowed my seeds in August or in July, the intent was to plant them like I just did in early September. And now it's still warm here in Atlanta, Georgia in early September. But it's not going to be that way for very long. And as those plants establish in the ground with nice warm soil, they get their roots spread out, they're waking up, they're growing more. As they get bigger, the weather has cooled down and they're right where they want to be. But you want to do it soon enough in the fall so they have time to mature before the days start getting shorter. And because then the plants kind of go into like, they kind of stall. They just kind of stop growing. Where they are at that point is kind of where they're going to be for the most part. And it's not necessarily that you're trying to avoid them growing into when it's frosty, because many of these cool season crops, they actually taste better when they've been exposed to frost. So that's not the issue. A lot of them can handle very cold weather.
Tell me more about them tasting better when they're exposed to cold.
when they are kissed by frost, they just get sweeter. They just, there's just pre-frost and post-frost are like night and day. As good as a plant is in your home garden, you know, fresh from the garden without being exposed to frost, those cool season plants, the sugars just come alive. I mean, there's a conversion, there's a chemical conversion within the plant that just makes them sweeter. And it's a beautiful thing. So,
okay. Yeah. You're really selling me on this. If okay. I was going to start some stuff, so you mentioned lettuces. What are your other favorite fall crops to grow?
Kale. I just love kale so much because you can use it for so many things. And it just, kale from the garden after frost is amazing. It's just sweet and it's just so good. And spinach is that way. And I love growing peas, but those, they're not as frost tolerant. So you want to get those in the ground early enough. But peas in the fall are so sweet and delicious. And the hard part is even getting them inside because you're going to find yourself picking and eating yeah. in place so many of those. But Brussels sprouts and arugula and all the lettuces, the kohlrabi, the cabbage.
Are there root vegetables that do well in the fall?
Beets do great. Beets. And of course, you know, the classic radish that grows in 30 days to 50 days, depending on which one you're growing. But one of my favorite of all time plants that we were having this discussion yesterday with Toby, my farm manager, and was like, what if you could only plant three things, what would they be? You know, and in the winter time for me, beets would be one of the three things. And so, yeah, beets. I love the earthiness of them. And even if you don't love the earthiness, they now have varieties of beets that have all the qualities of beets, but don't quite have that earthiness to it mm-hmm. that is off-putting to some people. I happen to love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some cool beet varieties out there right now. But root crops, they resonate fall and cool weather and, you know, nesting. And
100%.
Yeah.
Could I do carrots this fall?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just got sent some carrot seeds. Maybe I'll try some carrots in one of my grow bags.
Totally do that. Absolutely. And your grow bag is a great place to do it because you'll have good, clean soil that won't be have obstructions from stones or any, you know, bulky stuff. And that could even, you could leave those in the ground and harvest them from fall or late fall through next year.
Yeah.
And they're biennial. So, you know, they're going to be around. And if you left them in the ground in the second growing season, they'll put up their stalks for their seeds.
Right. They're, which are so beautiful. It's like mm-hmm. I want bouquets of them. So, okay. So speaking of overwintering, can you walk me through garlic? Because when I gardened with my friend Melody 2 summers ago, she had already planted her garlic. So I got to harvest it with her. Our mutual friend Bree is an epic garlic lover. She grows like thousands of garlic heads a year. So if I wanted to try garlic, this is when I should be planting it, right?
Late fall, you know, down here, I plant it in November.
Okay.
But what you really kind of want to do with garlic is maybe get it planted before it gets so cold so that you got some top growth. And the top growth is very, very resilient to cold weather. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to hurt it. But you want to get some roots established before it gets too cold.
Okay.
And then it's going to continue to grow underground and continue to establish more and more and more. But it's just going to sit there. It doesn't bulb up until spring or mm-hmm. even late spring before it really starts forming that big bulb. But the establishment happens in the fall, ideally, for most of the country. Now, you could plant it maybe early in winter. I've never done it then, so I don't know. I live in the Southeast, so I don't know about you. But if it were me up there, I would be planting it before the ground freezes and before mm-hmm. it got too cold. So maybe that's still early November for you.
Yeah, late October, early November. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in New York, we've had like snow on Halloween before, but yeah, I feel like garlic is an undersung hero of the garden from what I've learned, especially from what Bree came on the podcast. And she was talking about how garlic is a great deterrent for pests.
Yeah.
And when I had tasted my friend Melody's garlic, it really was a very different flavor. And the garlic scapes. It's like you want all parts of the plant.
Yeah, they're great. And they come up on hardneck garlic. But you want to cut the scapes to not detract from the energy. You want the energy to go back down in the bulb formation. So you cut these scapes, which are basically the flower stalk, essentially.
Right. A curly.
And noodle. Yeah. And you can turn that into, you know, pesto or food or whatever you want, because it just tastes like garlic. So that's nice.
We love a garlic scape pesto. We love garlic scapes in the spring in my household. Okay, it feels like you're suggesting a lot of lettuces. Kale is also beautiful. My mom uses kale ornamentally. I mean, she plants edible kale, but it's such a beautiful plant.
Bulletproof too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bulletproof. It lives through the snow. We have, you know, her kale and cabbages just snow covered and living their best lives in New York. So in addition to growing other crops, so you gave us some great suggestions, so thank you. And in your book, you really do have like every single crop, you know, from seed to harvest. What about mindset for the fall with gardening? So, you know, I think fall is a good time to reflect on your summer, spring, summer growing months, because that is the, you know, predominant, if you live in the Northeast, like that is the majority of your growing season. What's your advice for people who maybe had some blunders in their growing season in the summer when they're in the fall looking back?
Well, and then definitely you're going to appreciate fall even more, because one of the biggest differences, aside from the types of plants you can grow in the fall versus the summer, in the summer, everything is growing at lightning speed pretty much. You know, except for the tomatoes that they can't get red fast enough. You know, the number one thing I always hear from people is like, why aren't my tomatoes ripening? And it seems like it's taking forever. But aside from that, your squash and your cucumbers and all of these crazy crops in the summer, they're growing so fast. The biggest challenge is just keeping up with everything, you mm-hmm. know, and dealing with the pests and the diseases. So when you come into fall and you're planting these wonderful leafy crops and these ones that just, they're kind of on chill factor. They're just taking their time and they're growing a little bit every day, but there's no sense of urgency where you got to be out there every day doing something or chasing away the pests or diseases, because they are so few and far between or non-existent in some cases. And it's just a much more enjoyable experience all the way around in many ways, because it's not hot. Like I said before, those things, it's not hot, it's not humid, it's pleasant. You know how it is when you're out in the fall and those crisp mornings and evenings, and even in the day, you're not sweating and it's just a joy. And you just don't feel the overwhelm that you often feel in the summertime. So appreciate the fall and the uniqueness about it and the special qualities that only the fall garden provides, because you will be missing that in the following summer. And it will cause you to look forward to fall again much more than ever for your next garden.
Thank you so much to our long-term partners and sponsors, Espoma Organics and Soltech Solutions, for supporting today's episode. If you've listened to the podcast, you know I love Espoma Organics. They are a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. They make incredible potting mixes, composts. They're all organic, very aligned with today's guest, who is an organic gardener. Their fertilizers, their tones, their indoor houseplant fertilizer, I love it all. But since our guest today, Joe, is all about organic gardening, I actually wanted to take this ad to share not about Espoma's products, but about Espoma's commitment to organic gardening and the planet. We know I love their products. You can visit their website or the link in my show notes to check out all of the different potting mixes and fertilizers that they offer. But plant friends, did you know that they are a fourth generation run family business that's been in business for over 85 years? Their manufacturing facility is 100% solar powered and is minimal waste, and they also use bio-preferred packaging. They really care about the product that they create and the world that they live in addition to running a super successful family-run business. If you are interested in learning more about their indoor and outdoor products, visit espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or click the link in the show notes to go to my curated Bloom and Grow Espoma Amazon storefront to order my favorite products online. I'm so excited to welcome back Soltech Solutions. They are another long-term partner and sponsor of the show, and I am absolutely obsessed with their high-quality grow lights. I have, I think, 4 or 5 of them in my home at this moment. So, plant friends, we're in September. Shorter days, less sun, and colder temperatures are just around the corner. That also means less light availability. So to keep your plants alive without messing with your home's interior style this season, you should try using Soltech Solutions' amazing line of full-spectrum plant lights. The Soltech difference is that they create their grow lights with a warm color temperature
So you can keep any plant in your home thriving without having to look at that ugly grow light, that weird purple, red, weird kind of color that it can cast all winter. So they solve the problem. You have no more dead plants and you have no more harsh looking grow lights. It's a win-win situation. Soltech makes simple, elegant plant lights that make sure that your plants are getting the proper amount of light, all while complementing your home's decor. The lights come with a timer that makes it super easy to have them running for the amount of time that your plants need to thrive. And they seriously look so modern and sleek. When people come to my house, no one ever knows that the aspect pendant lights are grow lights. They just think they're really stylish lights. So whether you're looking for a pendant light, their aspect light that I just talked about, track lighting for a grow wall or hard to reach places, or a simple light bulb to screw into an existing light fixture, that's their Vita grow bulb. And it's actually looking at me right now. It illuminates my plants next to my desk. Soltech offers quality products with great customer service, free shipping, and a 5-year warranty. Keep the sun shining and your plants thriving with Soltech Solutions. Check them out at soltechsolutions.com and get 15% off your purchase with code BLOOM15. That's a lot of percent off for products with price points like this. So use code BLOOM1515 for 15% off at soltechsolutions.com.
I live for that first cold snap, man. I live for those first cozy vibes of fall. It's also a beautiful opportunity to try again. You know, if summer got away from you and you were too overwhelmed and you lost a lot of plants or you had an aphid infestation or you had, you know, whatever, it is a beautiful opportunity to kind of renew and try and reconnect with why you started the summer garden.
Yeah, you can reset. You can just mentally reset. And if you've got the wherewithal to get some, you know, you don't even have to start seeds. You can buy seedlings. But I do find, Maria, for the reasons we talked about earlier, a lot of people just kind of forget about fall gardening. And so the garden centers don't really stock their shelves with seedlings for fall. They're too busy selling pansies and making room for Christmas, you know? And that's a shame because it's a missed opportunity for the retailers, but at the same time, not everybody's starting plants from seeds, even though I think they should. It's cheaper and you got much more variety and all that stuff.
I think that's a good point. And I think it can be a little intimidating. I had such a positive experience with radishes my first year. They didn't taste great, but I didn't quite know what I was doing. I also think it was like not a high quality seed packet I started. But the process of having something germinate rather quickly and, you know, be able to pull, what is it, 30 or 60 days of radish you can grow from seed to harvest?
Yeah, depends on the one, but yeah, from 30 to 60 days.
Yeah. So, you know, I do feel like some of these fall crops, lettuce too, where you plant them and you can be harvesting relatively quickly, even if it's not an overwhelm, is a nice experience to see a seed starting life cycle that isn't high stakes. Like when you're starting tomatoes and you're starting them in March and you're not seeing tomato until August, like those stakes are so high. It's kind of a lower stakes time to like experiment and just like shake some seeds around in your garden, you know, and see what comes up.
That's a very good point. You're not so vested that, you know, you feel like your life is on the line by the success or the failure of the tomato. There's a lot less skin in the game with a few radish seeds. Yeah,
totally. I also have been just musing as I'm starting to feel the seasons change just on like, you know, I loved what you just said about fall is how like it, you know, the plants themselves are a little chiller and it can be more enjoyable, but also how can we kind of reflect that in our own lives and how can we kind of move through seasons? Cause I feel like lately from conversations I've been having with people, you know, you feel like you need to constantly be in the state of extreme growth, like this abundant summer kind of mindset of really rapid growth, harvesting, kind of overwhelm and never like stopping for a minute. And I feel like this metaphor is more about winter, like letting yourself, you know, have some winter, but the fall is a really nice kind of trigger to let yourself kind of slow down. And that's beautiful to be able to practice with plants in your garden too, you know?
It's pretty amazing how the seasons are so significant for so many reasons, including our mental health, you know, and there's that perfect alignment metaphorically with the seasons and the fall is a chance, as you said, to turn the volume down and slow the pace a little bit from the summer for what you just said. You know, everything is growing at such a fast pace, and there's, it's like you're just, you're having all these crazy pitches thrown at you, and it's like almost like a game of dodgeball when you're trying to just maneuver through all the intricacies of a successful growing season when you're really not in control ever. You know, Mother Nature always has the last say.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to keep up, and I wouldn't even say stay ahead. I mean, really keeping up is about as good as you can do. And that would be a big win. But when you come into fall, you know, in addition to the plants being chill, it just, it gives you that sense of rest and relaxation and peace when you're out there, because you're not feeling that all those challenges being thrown at you when you're in the fall garden. So the visual reminders of the plants themselves, the fact that they're going to look good, they're beautiful. These leafy crops, some of them are just so ornamentally gorgeous. We just grow them for their ornamental purposes. But I just look, you know, especially coming out of a busy summer garden, I just so look forward to the fall for the, all the reasons I said, plus the great taste that you get from the plants.
Yeah, you've definitely got me sold. And now that I've coaxed you onto the spiritual side of gardening conversation, I was so tickled by when reading your book, which I can't wait to dive into. But you have this phrase that you use called "When in doubt, think like a plant."
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. I loved reading. It's like a sub chapter in your book. So can you kind of elaborate on when you use that and why?
I use it all the time. Anytime I see something going on with a plant that's outside of what we think of it when we think of it in the perfect state,
mm-hmm.
something is causing it to look that way, whether it's a pest or disease or, you know, the weather, you know, some climate issue, maybe it's in the soil, but it constantly challenges you to put yourself in the plant's position. So, you know, I call it planthropomorphizing. It helps you think through what's going on. And that's where I always, my catchphrase, the why do behind the how to, you know, it's one thing to follow the recipe card on how to make a dish,
mm-hmm.
but the chef is going to just look in the pantry at the ingredients that he has to work with and put together this amazing meal. Cause he, she has the knowledge beyond just following that recipe card that we all did early on, but over time with the experience and understanding how flavors work together and the science behind that, as a gardener, you can become the same way. So when you think like a plant, why is that plant responding that way? And then you start running that mental checklist through, would a pest cause this? And if so, you know, why would I think that? What are the symptoms of that? Or it's got yellow around these little holes. Would that be a disease? You know, and why is it wilting? You know, and so you ask yourself, well, have I been watering it, or is it too much water, or is it a soil-borne disease that's cutting off the circulation up through the stem that's not allowing water to get up to the top of the plant? And so now you're all of a sudden thinking way beyond, did I water enough? Now maybe it's a disease that I hadn't thought about before, but trying to be that plant and ask yourself, why is this feeling this way, or why is it looking this way, really gets you to a different place as a gardener, a much more mature gardener. And when you figure it out, you're, like I also say, you're a better, smarter, more confident gardener when you think like a plant.
Yeah. And I wanted to just read one sentence that really got me. Whenever I'm troubleshooting a problem in the garden, I often take a step back and try to get out of my own head for a moment. Forget the books, never mind what the seed packet says or what worked well last year or what I think I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Instead, I try to quite simply think like a plant. And that's pretty what you said. But I love, you know, I think as lifelong learners that we all are listening to this podcast, like I think sometimes it can just get, we can overwhelm ourselves, you know, and reflecting back to when you said, don't overthink it. Just try growing some food, Maria. You know,
yeah.
I think that because we do have so much educational content available to us these days, you want to always go science nerdy. You want to always go this, you want to always go that. You want to always turn to a blog or turn to something, you know, to solve your problem. But sometimes there is an intuitive level that you can kind of tap into. And I love that even in this book, which is going to be the next manual for growing all things edible, you still kind of give the reader that license to absorb, obviously, the education you're giving in this book, but also trusting themselves to maybe just take a step back and make it less complicated.
Well said. Stepping back, trusting yourself and using your intuition. You know, these are living organisms. I mean, sometimes we exhibit those same clues physically as plants do in our human way versus what a plant does, but we're impacted in many ways by the same things. And so we can use our intuition to some degree to transfer that to the plant and think, as a plant, why would I look that way? But relating it to what we know is human beings. If that doesn't sound too woo-woo, I mean, I really think stepping away and just using your common sense. And, you know, I think that comes with time too. I mean, I think there's some intuition that we all have that is innately part of us from day one. But the more that you garden and the more you can put two and two together through the cause and effect and think about that why do part, the intuition becomes better and stronger and allows you to apply that deeper and further as you continue to garden. And that's a powerful thing. So, you know, these days, and you and I were talking about this, you know, before I think we went live, it's like, you can never know everything. No matter how much you know about gardening or any other subject matter, there's always more to learn. You're never going to know it all. I'm never going to know it all, but I know a lot more today than I did, you know, yesterday and decades before. But it does make you more confident when you realize that, you know, your intuition steered you in the right direction and you can see the results of the actions you took from using your own instincts to interpret what was going on and trusting your gut and your intuition.
Yeah. Gardening is a humbling and also empowering hobby, isn't it?
It's the great equalizer. It is the great equalizer.
It's the great equalizer, man.
Yeah.
As I'm composting, I just got a new composter, tabletop composter. Shout out to the Lomi. I've decided to let go of my fern collection because I just, no matter what I do, I can't make them happy. And I'm like, man, here I am composting houseplants six years in, millions of downloads on my podcast, full business, and I'm still killing plants. But I think that's part of it, right? It's like, there's always going to be misfires in a plant collection or a garden, you know, it's part of it.
It's part and parcel. You know, you're going to have those with the successes every time. And that's a guarantee.
Yeah, totally. Okay, let's talk about this book. I have so many questions. So first off, it's called The Vegetable Gardening Book, Your Complete Guide to Growing an Edible Organic Garden from Seed to Harvest. Mm-hmm. So first off, Joe, the photos of this, you're in all the photos, obviously.
Well, not all of them. There's some plants in there too.
There are plants in there too. It's just a calendar. It's a 12-month calendar of Joe posing with different plants. I feel like you could probably do well with that product if you ever created it. But so you have so many photos of plants at different phases. What was the content capturing process for this book like? Because the photos of this book are a heavy lift.
That's interesting you say that. That's probably the hardest part of the book because when you're trying to capture all the phases of the growing seasons, not just in one season, but multiple seasons, spring, summer, and fall, you got to be out there a lot. And I am out there a lot, but at the same time, I'm no longer the photographer that has, you know, all the fancy equipment and stuff. Although I love photography, I love, love, love it. There's certain requirements for this book. The photo parameters had to be a certain way. And the iPhone just doesn't quite do that. So it wasn't going to be me. So they sent out a photographer only three times during the peak growing season from early, middle, and late. And that is so hard to catch. You just can't catch things at prime time, no matter what. And we had a great photographer who lives in Atlanta, but to think that you can adequately document through photographs everything you want to in three visits is nearly impossible, but I mean, it was as good as it could be under the circumstances. So thanks for saying that. But really, that was the thing that was always on my mind the most because I have no shortage of photography for everything that's happened in this garden over all the years that I've been doing it. But they're just, while they're good, when you put those into print at a high DPI resolution, it just isn't the same. It kind of breaks down. So we couldn't use, even though I had examples of everything I talked about in the book, we couldn't. And that was the disappointment. And I understood why, but we just couldn't use it. So thank you that you think that, you know, that's an amazing part of the book, because that makes me feel personally a lot better, because that was one of my biggest concerns.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like what I see. I think your courses obviously would provide a lot of backup, because your courses are also video. So you mm-hmm. do, I feel like just capturing growth in a static photo is hard. But yeah. I mean, that was one of the first thoughts that hit me was, damn, great. These photos look amazing.
Good.
Especially in the top. So the other thing I wanted to draw attention about this book, which I really appreciated, was, and I wrote the page number down. So you don't start talking about how to grow edible plants mm-hmm. like until page 65.
Yeah.
Technically page 46, you can argue either page 46 or page 65. You really take so much time in this book to set up the fundamentals of how plants grow.
Yeah.
To then be able to apply to the second half of the book, which is like almost an encyclopedia for, what is it, 40 plants that
yes.
grow from seed to harvest?
Yeah. 20 top warm and 20 top cool season plants. Here's why I did that.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to the cook versus the chef. If I started off with just how to grow this, you know, and that was it. So, okay, they're going to follow the information in there and that they're going to be successful, but they won't be as successful. They won't be as successful as they would be had they been given the tools and the knowledge and the thought process ahead of how to plant that plant, because they didn't understand the importance of having great soil and why you need mulch and how you irrigate properly and where you site your garden for ideal conditions mm-hmm. and why some things grow better there than others. So equipped with that information, that's empowering. And that's how you're able to apply that information to be even more successful when you get to the point on how to grow it, because you have that foundational information, which is far more important than the step-by-step instructions for each plant. It's just it's the core of what you need to know as a gardener, which is why when I set out to write the outline for this book, the chapters and the headers and the subchapters, honestly, it took me, I don't know if it took me even 30 minutes. When it was finally time to sit down and submit the proposed flow of the book, I just got my mind map out and I just started thinking, what order do I want to teach people how to garden and then what to grow? And it just flowed, because it's what I've been doing for a long, long time. And that's what ended up in the book. I don't really even think we changed it hardly at all from what I initially submitted right off the top.
It really feels like a distilled, because I've taken so many of your courses now, it mm-hmm. feels like a distilled version of a lot of your courses, but in paper, which is so nice. And it's really almost two books, because you have, you know, a lot of, especially houseplant care books, there are so many of them on the market. Usually you get like 10 pages of houseplant care, and then you get, you know, 150 pages of plant profiles.
Yeah.
You're really at a 50-50 split. You have 50% of the book that is how to grow plants, what you just talked about. And then the second 50% of the book is your grow guides, which are, you know, 2 to 3 pages on each plant. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. With every book, there's a limit on how many words thereafter. You know, there's that target. You need to hit a certain target, but don't go over it, because, you know, that costs more money and all that stuff. And we were, when we submitted it, we were 12,000 words over the limit of 80,000. And so we submitted like 92,000. And those extra 12,000 words or so, give or take, that came out were more, Maria, of the why do part, the first part, you know, more of the instructional thing about gardening, not how to grow something. But you got to decide how it all comes out in the wash. And I'm really happy with it, even so.
Can I tell you something I did that was really savage to my editor when this happened? The same exact thing happened with my book. They only told me the book was too long, like way too late. And she was like, okay, we need to cut. And I was like, fine, I'll cut down your acknowledgement. I love my editor. I have a great relationship with her, but I also wrote her like a very long 2-paragraph acknowledgement in the back. And so when they told me I had to cut the book down, I was like, we can cut this chapter out. And also I'll cut down your acknowledgement. That's all I'm doing. And it's your fault. You didn't tell me earlier.
Oh, nice. I'll have to remember that.
I'm a brat. But okay, so yeah, Joe, I mean, this is great. I personally am very inspired to do some carrots. I have some carrot seeds, so I'm going to read your carrot plant profile. What do you call them? Grow guides. And maybe I'll track it and track the growth, the success or the failure on my end.
Well, carrots, just let me tell you, just give it good soil and be patient on the germination.
Okay.
And keep the seeds moist and cool until they germinate. Because that, if you can get them to germinate, you're on your way. You are well on your way. Then it's just a matter of, are they going to split underground because they hit an object and it caused them to...
No. I've got grow bags filled with Espoma Organic.
So there you go. Yeah. That's so you
sprinkle
you're good.
Biotone in there. But yeah, I lost a few grow bags to a heat wave that I was out of town for. So I have some pretty brown looking plants over there. So I think maybe that's what I'll do. I'll compost them. So, okay. You've got so many exciting things down the line. Are you doing an audiobook for this or no?
You know, it hasn't been discussed, so okay. I don't know.
I think honestly, people like I would want this book in physical because I know that this is a book that I'm going to go back to 100 times over and over again every time I start growing something every year.
Yeah.
So where can people order this?
So this book should be available everywhere. Sam's is going to have it, or Sam's has it. You know, I don't know what data hits their shelves, but they're selling it across the country in all their stores. Yeah. And all the, you know, major and independent bookstores, I hope, and of course online. So, you know, if the book salespeople did their job,
yeah, it should be somewhere available near you.
Right.
There's a great website too called bookshop.org. I'll include the link where they're not an independent bookseller, but if you buy a percentage of the proceeds go to independent booksellers.
Good.
So they're a nice, I feel
that's
like
nice.
Them if you don't want to order on a you know who, but you also can't, you know, you need to order online and your local shop doesn't do online or anything.
Yeah.
So this is so good. And then once you guys get this book, which I highly recommend getting, it's so good. I really feel like I'm going to go back to this book every growing season when I start planning. You will be returning later next year to discuss your epic launch of a course that we have to be kind of vague about right now, but I do have a wait list link in my show notes. If you're interested in learning more from Joe with some really exciting launches in 2023, you can click the link and join the waitlist, and I'll notify you when the time comes to really get growing on the next level.
Yeah. Well, I would say this, because this is no secret, but we've been talking about this book and the program that we're coming out with in 2023 spring is called Organic Vegetable Gardening. And so it's basically taking this book and bringing it to life in a all video format with a deep dive into me and my garden. As I said, you know, my vision for this book was to have you as a person hanging out with me in my garden, and I would be talking to you. Well, in the program that we're creating, it is that you are in the garden with me. I am talking to you via the camera, unscripted, in real time, in front of whatever it is we're talking about. And it is going to be the top 20 warm and cool season crops on how to grow them, as well as those important things about best practices for being an organic gardener and why we do what we do. But really having a chance for you to hear it from me in my words, explaining it to you in all video and from my garden where I live and work and play and worship. I mean, it is a sacred place. And so we're bringing you in.
Yeah, your garden is so great. I live for those Instagram live tours you do. And on a personal note, ideally, we're moving one more time, and then hopefully we'll be setting down roots by the time this course comes out. And so I will be able to grow alongside whoever ends up joining us, setting up my first real big girl garden that doesn't have to be portable the way I've been gardening for the last 3 years.
But you do what you do. You're making it work in spite of your limitations. And that's great.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's the thing. You can be a gardener with one rectangular pot of herbs like I was for so many years in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, and it only makes the whole experience more rich. And I'm so thankful to you for all of your mentorship and guidance. So where can everyone find you in addition to the book?
JoeGardner.com is the best place to go because there's links to everything else. But during the week, I'm hanging out on Instagram at Joe Gardiner. So that's where you can find me. I'd love for you to join me there because I try to make your time spent with me worthwhile wherever you find me. And Instagram is my favorite place for that.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Joe. I can't wait to have you back soon.
Thank you, Maria.
Gosh, I just love Joe. I mean, I just love him so much. He's the greatest. He's such a great plant friend. He's such a great educator. If you've listened to the podcast, you know I've taken almost all of his classes as I've been on my own gardening journey, and I really appreciate them and love them. And this book is just like the perfect next thing. I love that now I don't have to go binge one of his classes to go like learn something quick. I can just flip the book open. I am going to be definitely growing some carrots alongside his book this fall, so we will see how that goes. Fingers crossed. I've never grown carrots before. Let me know what you're growing in your fall gardens on socials. You can tag me at Bloom and Grow Maria. You could tag Joe at Joe Gardner, but let us know what you're growing and how you're thriving. I hope as we enter this fall season, you can really take what Joe and I were talking about to heart. Just taking some time to slow down and honor the external seasonal change that your plants are experiencing, and also any internal seasonal changes that you might be experiencing, that you might be calling forth, that you might be feeling. It's natural. It's okay. It's okay to slow down. It's okay to prepare to hibernate, right? I've just really been thinking about that a lot, and it's been a really powerful tool to think about, reflecting the seasons in my soul, the seasons of my soul. Thank you again also to all of our Garden Party members and Garden Society members. If you are interested in partying with us in the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet, you can click the link in the show notes. An annual membership would also make a really fun gift for the holidays that are also approaching. But anyway, plant friends, I hope you enjoy your Septembers. I hope you enjoy Joe's book. I hope you enjoy your indoor and outdoor gardens, however you are growing. But whatever you are doing, however you are growing, I hope you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete. You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile, and with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent, and most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode. Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary Garden Party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow Radio guest, Leslie Halleck. All in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood.
Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.